This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, December 18th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we'll look again at the impeachment proceedings against Governor Rob Blagojevich going on in the Illinois House. Blagojevich's attorney showed up yesterday. We'll also get a forecast, an ice storm for parts of northern and maybe even central Illinois from AM 580 meteorologist Ed Kieser. First, today's news. The Illinois Supreme Court has turned down a challenge to Governor Blagojevich's fitness to stay in office. Sean Crawford reports.
The High Court offered no comment in refusing to hear the motions filed by the Illinois Attorney General and a private citizen. Both had petitioned the court under an obscure rule that allows justices to remove an official when they become incapacitated. Attorney General Lisa Madigan had argued Blagojevich's legal troubles amount to a disability and make it impossible for him to fulfill his duties as governor. She wanted him removed temporarily, which would have allowed the lieutenant governor to take over. Most legal experts had questioned if the move would be successful, as Blagojevich continues to go to his Chicago office each day, even acting on several pieces of legislation. The court's decision essentially leaves impeachment or a conviction as the only way to forcibly remove Blagojevich from office. I'm Sean Crawford.
Champaign County Clerk Mark Sheldon says he's wary of the cost if Illinois decides to hold a special election to fill a vacant U.S. Senate seat. He says if the state were to hold a primary to fill the seat or hold an election after April 7th, it would cost county taxpayers about $150,000. Sheldon says the only way of making such an election cost-efficient would be to hold it on the date in April, the same time the county holds its local municipal elections. Sheldon says the only extra work on the part of his office in that scenario would involve printing up federal-only ballots.
So people who have moved more than 28 days prior to the election and forgot to change their address, they're eligible for a federal-only ballot. Well, we would probably print about 10 of those for every precinct in the county. So that's about $200 or something like that. There's a few other ballots that we would mail out to some overseas citizens that we wouldn't have to mail out if there was no Senate race.
Sheldon says the work would run less than $1,000, but he says if a primary to fill President-elect Barack Obama's vacant Senate seat were also held on April 7th, it would amount to more confusion for voters than anything else. Sheldon says he's also afraid the legislature's efforts to remove Governor Blagojevich from office could extend past April 7th, and that would force counties to foot the bill for the Senate election. State lawmakers say statewide figures for such an election could run $30 million or more. Urbana-based Carle Clinic Association says its settlement with the state attorney general over an antitrust suit has been formally approved by Champaign County Judge Richard Klaus. The suit accused Carle of working together with Christie Clinic on policies that denied care to new Medicaid patients. Under terms of the agreement, Carle Clinic will increase the number of Medicaid patients it treats and make payments to local health care agencies that serve low-income patients. Carle Clinic is not admitting guilt. It says it agreed to the settlement so it could concentrate its resources on improving health care in the Champaign community. The antitrust suit against Christie Clinic continues. Champaign's Parkland College is getting ready to issue nearly $35 million in bonds for the first phase of a major building and renovation project. Following a vote last night by the Parkland Board, voters have 1 month to petition for a referendum or let the bond sale go ahead unquestioned. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
Urbana resident Andrea Antuloff questions the need for the bonds, which would add nearly $16 to the property tax bill of a $150,000 home. She plans to try to collect enough signatures to force an April referendum on the bond issue and says Parkland hasn't done enough to tell voters about the building project.
Well, I think Parkland has a newspaper, a radio, a TV station, several bulletin boards, and a website, and has done very little to explain what this money is for.
Parkland President Tom Ramage says the bonds will pay for a new complex to allow expansion of their vocational education programs and pay for phase one of campus-wide roof replacement and elevator upgrades. He says they held 22 town hall meetings around the Parkland Community College District and found widespread support for the expansion.
My sense is the folks out there understand the need, the urgency. that we're seeing in terms of student enrollment and support us.
The Parkland Board voted last night to formally announce its intent to issue the funding bonds. That gives opponents like Antulov 30 days to collect an estimated 16,500 signatures needed to put the bond question before the voters. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Champaign County voters narrowly defeated a new sales tax to pay for school facilities in last month's election, but the measure will be back on the ballot this coming April at the request of the county school boards. Urbana School Board joined the list of boards this week, asking for the measure to be before voters again April 7th. Urbana School Board Vice President John Dimmitt believes the measure failed in November because many rural voters didn't learn what the sales tax could do to fund school construction and also make possible lower property taxes. Dimmitt predicts a broader base of supporters ready to campaign for the sales tax referendum this time around.
I personally heard from so many people that were disappointed that it did not pass, and they promised that they were going to work and talk to their neighbors and friends, and that's what I mean by a broader base. I think it's going to be much more grassroots.
Urbana school officials want to use money from the 1 cent sales tax to pay for a new early childhood center, but Dimmitt says the first priority will be paying off old bond debt in order to lower property taxes. A University of Illinois professor says Chicago Schools CEO Arne Duncan will take a pragmatic aim toward reform in school funding and academic achievement as U.S. Education Secretary. President-elect Barack Obama tapped Duncan for the post yesterday. U of I professor of Educational Policy Studies James Anderson says he expects Duncan will continue to emphasize areas like charter schools, funding smaller schools, and balancing the funding between property-rich and property-poor districts. But Anderson expects changes to the No Child Left Behind Act to top Duncan's agenda, although the emphasis on the student achievement gap is an area that will likely remain within the measure.
I think they will continue to place an emphasis on that, but I think they also will try to restructure that bill in a way that it's much more palatable to states and to local school districts. There have been a lot of complaints, even from the most conservative states, about No Child Left Behind. One is an unfunded mandate, and also as a set of sort of measures that schools can't live up to.
Anderson expects merit pay for teachers to also highlight Duncan's agenda. He believes Duncan was chosen because of his ability to walk the line between reformers and teachers' unions. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Illinois' unprecedented foray into the possible impeachment of a sitting governor moved forward yesterday. Legislators on the special committee exploring if impeaching Rod Blagojevich is warranted promised that the deliberations would afford the governor fairness and due process. Blagojevich has retained a high-profile Chicago lawyer to make sure that happens. Amanda Vinicky reports.
He may be weighed down by a bevy of corruption allegations, but Governor Rod Blagojevich is still light on his feet. He bragged to reporters about his 8.5-minute-a-mile pace before a morning jog yesterday and told an onlooking crew from MSNBC to hang loose.
I can't wait to begin to tell my side of the story and to address you guys and, most importantly, the people of Illinois. That's who I'm dying to talk to. There's a time and place for everything. That day will soon be here.
In the meantime, Blagojevich told the media that he's in good hands, namely the hands of Ed Jensen, his new attorney. Jensen's often called a bulldog for his defense of politicians and celebrities. He's represented everyone from aides to Illinois' last governor, the now imprisoned George Ryan, to media titan Conrad Black, and helped R&B star R. Kelly get acquitted. And now Blagojevich. Jensen says he agreed to defend the governor at Blagojevich's request because, well, it would be fun.
Because I've been defending people for 44 years, and I take the cases that are fun. That's the advantage of not working for a law firm. You take the cases that are fun. This is fun. Now, that's not suggesting that my client thinks it's fun. And maybe I shouldn't have said it, but it's an interesting case, and I felt that it was something I wanted to be involved in.
It's unclear how Blagojevich is paying for Jensen's services. According to Blagojevich's own wiretapped words described in the affidavit against him, the governor's struggling financially. When asked by a reporter, Jensen replied, "It's none of your business." Jensen's asking for taxpayers to pay his fees for representing Blagojevich at the ongoing impeachment proceedings. At the second gathering of the newly appointed House Impeachment Committee, Jensen showed up. As part of the panel's inquiry into if Blagojevich should be forced out of office, the committee's own attorney, David Ellis, offered as evidence highlights of the criminal complaint.
Rod Blagojevich said Tribune owners should be told, quote, maybe we can't do this now. Fire those bleepers. Close quote.
To which Jensen took objection. He says the affidavit's only hearsay and that prosecutors may have cherry-picked for it only the most damning 20 snippets out of thousands of hours of recorded phone conversations. He says the committee should not consider the plea bargains of two Blagojevich fundraisers because the men are, in his words, an extortionist and a convicted perjurer. Jensen also tried to get several legislators kicked off the panel because he says they're prejudiced against the governor. It all led to some clashes during the hearing, like when he and Democratic Representative Corrine Gordon of Coal City had this exchange.
To issue a warrant for the arrest on the two charges that were filed in the criminal complaint. Would you agree with that statement?
No.
Well, then you really should go back to criminal law.
Well, I've been doing it for 44 years, and maybe you should go back to law school.
Making clear that Jensen will fight to help Blagojevich remain as Illinois' chief executive. But the impeachment committee chair, Barbara Flynn Curry, a Chicago Democrat, doesn't seem dismayed.
I'd have to say that I think that the governor's lawyer did a pretty good job, as I say, of throwing up dust. But I don't know that he did a good enough job to make either the members of the committee nor the people of Illinois watching him on their television screens decide that the governor is, as I say, as innocent as a newborn lamb.
The committee now appears to be the best hope for those who want Blagojevich gone. During Wednesday's hearing, the Illinois Supreme Court sent word that it would not hear a motion from the state's attorney general asking justices to declare Blagojevich unfit for office. Call it a victory for the governor, who has ignored calls to step down. Just as he keeps up his jogging routine, Blagojevich shows no sign he's changing course when it comes to resigning. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Winter weather advisories are going to be out for most of Illinois for at least parts of today. A freezing rain advisory started off the morning in far southern Illinois, and we could be in for some freezing rain later on. Today in northwest Illinois, cloudy with snow during the afternoon. In west central and southwest Illinois, cloudy with freezing rain arriving during the afternoon. In far southern Illinois, patchy freezing drizzle in the morning, rain showers in the afternoon, and elsewhere mostly cloudy. Highs from 20 in far northwest Illinois to 40 in southeast Indiana. In Champaign-Urbana today, cloudy and a high of 26. Tonight, look for heavy snow possible in far northern Illinois. Elsewhere in the north, snow, sleet, and freezing rain in central Illinois and Indiana, and in the far south, showers and thunderstorms. Lows from 18 in far northwest Illinois to 38 in far southern Indiana. Tonight in Champaign-Urbana, periods of light freezing rain this evening, then steady and occasionally heavy freezing rain overnight, with temperatures slowly rising to around 30 at daybreak. Tomorrow, snow early in northwest Illinois and far northeast Illinois, snow. In the rest of the north, snow, sleet, and freezing rain. In central Illinois and Indiana, freezing rain and rain. Showers and thunderstorms in the south. Highs from 28 in far northwest Illinois to 55 far south. 35 tomorrow with occasional light freezing rain and rain in Champaign-Urbana. Cloudy tomorrow night, the low 22 as the precipitation comes to an end. Saturday, partly sunny and 34. Sunday, cloudy, windy, and cold with occasional snow showers. And the high only 17. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, December 18th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.